Welcome to the Holmesville Church of the Brethren. This is the worship service for March 24th, 2024. It is Palm Sunday. Please join in our call to worship. Sing songs of loudest praise, Hosanna! Sing songs that are unashamed, Hosanna! Sing songs without being afraid, Hosanna! Sing for the God of tomorrow and today, Hosanna! Let us worship the one worthy to be praised.
Hosanna, loud Hosanna, the little children sing through pillared court and temple. The lovely anthem rang to Jesus who had blessed them, close folded to his breast. The children sang their praises, the simplest and the best. From Olivet they followed, mid an exultant crowd, the victor palm branch waving and chanting clear and loud. The scorn that little children should on his bidding wait. Hosanna in the highest, that ancient song we sing, for Christ is our Redeemer, the Lord of heaven, our King. Oh,
God of grace, your word is like a song. It is the melody that we long to sing, the refrain that we pray will get stuck in our heads. So as we return to worship once more, we pray that you would allow us to sink into this song. Allow the cries of the crowd's hosannas to feel like our own. With open hearts and open ears, we pray. Amen. Oh, is from the new book, Have a Beautiful, Terrible Day by Kate Bowler. It is a blessing for Palm Sunday. Jesus, from that mountain high among the olive trees, it would have been an easy walk down to the city, to Jerusalem, which lay below. So why choose to make your way on a donkey, on an everyday beast of burden, your feet almost dragging on the ground? And who are these people running, bending low, to spread their precious cloaks on the road before you, waving palm branches and shouting, "Save us! Hosanna to the Son of David!" What is the raw and urgent hope that rises in their songs? "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." And Jesus, why are you smiling? Because it is true what they are saying, though they can't yet know the whole of it. It is happening. It is unfolding in slow motion, the fulfillment of that promise from of old, the Savior would come, humble and riding on a donkey. Blessed are we on this side of history shouting, "Come, Lord, save us too." We know how it ends, and still we forget to rush toward our humble, forgettable King and yell, "Hosanna, Hosanna, our hope is in you." Amen. Our scripture today is John 12:12-16. The next day, the great crowd that had come to the festival heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem. So they took branches of palm trees and went out to meet him, shouting, "Hosanna! Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord, the King of Israel." Jesus found a young donkey and sat on it, as it is written, "Do not be afraid, daughter of Zion. Look, your king is coming, sitting on a donkey's colt." His disciples did not understand these things at first, but when Jesus was glorified, then they remembered that these things had been written of him and had been done to him. Songs of Loudest Praise. Here we are, newly at the end of Lent, entering into Holy Week. And we are again faced by this puzzling sight, Jesus in his everyday dusty brown robes riding not a war horse, but a donkey into Jerusalem. His triumphal entry. What is this? Jesus, on what we call Palm Sunday, enters Jerusalem. As the prophet Isaiah spoke of him, "He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him." Rumpled robes, a careworn face, on a humble donkey, but oh, such luminous eyes! There's something about him that stirs the imagination of the people. There's something about him that makes them want to shout and cheer, to get close to him, to elevate his stature. We know this because they cast their cloaks down and throw palm branches onto the ground before him. "Here he comes, this Jesus. Isn't he the one who raised Lazarus from the dead? Yes, that's what I heard. He's something special. He's got some kind of power." "Do you think he's the one?" "You mean the one? Well, he certainly could be." "Then grab those palm branches. Let's go. He needs our support, our energy. He could be the one we've been waiting for." "That's right. Enough of these Roman occupiers. Let's get a king for ourselves." Is he a king? Is he their king? Will he save them from their occupiers, from their tormentors, from their uncertainty, from their divisions? Will he rule over them, take care of them, lead them? Is he a king? Is he their king? Well, the language of king shows up in the Gospels again and again. Remember the stories of his beginnings? From Matthew chapter 2, in the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem asking, "Where is the child who has been born king of the Jews? For we observed his star at its rising and have come to pay him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was frightened and all Jerusalem with him, and calling together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it has been written by the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people, Israel.'" It's there, right from the start. Born in poverty, yes, but born from the line of David, born to be worshipped by wise men and feared by Herod. But such a king, not like any the world has ever known. He calls himself the Son of Man, not the King of the Jews. He humbles himself to wash the disciples' feet. He refuses to grasp at political power. And when Pilate asks him if he is the king of the Jews, Jesus replies, "That's what you say." What kind of king is this? A king who refuses the sword and dwells with the poor. A king who can stir up the people but does not claim an earthly throne. A king who is convicted and executed for sedition without seriously constituting a threat. Pilate dealt with Jesus the way he dealt with all threats to the social order. He sent him to the cross. No trial was held. No trial was necessary. It was Passover, after all, always a time of heightened tensions in Jerusalem. The city was bursting at its seams with pilgrims. Any hint of trouble had to be immediately addressed. And whatever Jesus may have been, he was certainly trouble. With his crime duly recorded in Pilate's logbook, Jesus would have been led out of the Antonia fortress and taken to the courtyard, where he would have been stripped naked, tied to a stake, and savagely scourged, as was the custom for all those sentenced to the cross. The Romans would then have placed a crossbeam behind the nape of his neck and hooked his arms back over it, again, as was the custom, so that the Messiah who had promised to remove the yoke of occupation from the necks of the Jews would himself be yoked like an animal led to slaughter. As with all those condemned to crucifixion, Jesus would have been forced to carry the crossbeam himself to a hill situated outside the walls of Jerusalem, directly on the road leading into the city gates, perhaps the same road he had used a few days earlier to enter the city as its rightful king. This way, every pilgrim entering Jerusalem for the holy festivities would have no choice but to bear witness to his suffering, to be reminded of what happens to those who defy the rule of Rome. It is, as the psalmist says, "The stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. The Lord has done this. The Lord has done it this very day. Let us rejoice today and be glad. Lord, save us. Lord, grant us success." Literally, "Hosanna," as the crowd called out to Jesus, means "save us." Kurt Borgman writes of this event, "This is your king? Yes, this is your king, but not the king you expected. not the sort you've been used to, not the kind of king who gets your hopes up and then dashes them on the scrap heap of disappointment and cynicism. Yes, this is your king, but not the king who rules over you. This is the king who undergirds you. This is the king who will not ask anything of you that he hasn't already done himself. This is the king who will not use violence or force to coerce your allegiance or obedience. This is the king who has no subjects, only heirs. This is the king who dies in order to live. This is the king who breaks the yoke by bearing the yoke. This is the king who serves, and in so doing transforms all relationships from hierarchy to kinship. This is the king who is not elected or appointed, who does not arrive on stallion or chariot or litter. This is the king who comes in peace, who calls for justice, who offers us grace. This is your king. Jesus turns all our royal assumptions upside down and inside out. Instead of ruling over us, he comes alongside us. Instead of conquering, he lays down his life. What kind of king is that? What kind of wonderful king is that? Let us pray. We know this story, O God, the story of palms, the story of passion, and yet we still can't quite figure it out. It doesn't make sense in the way we expect stories to make sense. The motivations of all the characters seem jumbled and confusing. Even Jesus, who could be the hero, who should be the hero, seems determined to take a path unfamiliar to us. And yet, if we set aside our regular ways of thinking, somewhere in this chaos, somewhere in this pain, somewhere in this sacrifice is something new, a new way of thinking, a new way of being, a new way of living. Is this your gift to us, O God? Is this the fulfillment of your promise, a Savior who will neither resist nor retreat, a man of courage and compassion? Show us your way, O God. Guide our steps this week across the scattered palms to the upper room, to the foot of the cross, to the empty tomb. Show us your way. We pray in the name of this King, this Christ. Amen. Join in our affirmation of faith. We believe in Jesus of Nazareth, who rode through the streets of Jerusalem on a donkey. We believe in Jesus of Nazareth, who challenged Rome's oppressive power with peaceful protest. We believe in Jesus of Nazareth, who was surrounded by crowds of dreamers and believers. We believe in Jesus of Nazareth, so even today we will sing songs of loudest praise. Hosanna! Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord.
Who in the Lord's name comes.
Thou didst accept their praises, accept the praise we bring, who in all good delightest, thou good and gracious King. All glory, Lord, and honor to thee, Redeemer King, to whom the lips of children made sweet hosannas ring.
Receive the benediction. Beloved wanderer, as you leave this place, may you carry your curious heart on your sleeve. May you look for God in every face. May you find the courage to get out of the boat, to run to the tomb, and to speak of your faith. And when the world falls apart, may you hear God's voice deep within saying, "Take heart, it is I. Be not afraid." You are called. You are blessed. In both your ups and your downs, you always belong to God. Go now in peace. Go trusting that good news. Amen. Let's join in our affirmation of faith. We believe that questions are a building block of faith. How many times should I forgive? Jesus, where are you going? What must I do to inherit eternal life? We believe that humble curiosity can open our eyes. Where does it hurt? What do you need? How can I help? We believe that God is a teacher. Speak, Lord, your servant is listening. Here I am, send me. We believe that faith invites our whole being to engage with all our heart, with all our mind, with all our strength. We believe. Help our unbelief. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.